Who's ready for the word this morning? Are you ready for the word back on this side? Amen. Let's pray together one more time. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you are and all that you're doing in our lives today, God. Lord, I thank you that you've called each and every one that is here today, Lord, for such a significant, divine, and eternal purpose. Lord, I thank you that we're not here even by chance, Lord. We're not here on this earth during this season, during 2024, Lord, with the way society is for just coincidence. But Lord, you have called us as your ambassadors of love, your ambassadors of truth, your ambassadors of power, Lord God, for a generation that is lost and doesn't know you. Lord God, I thank you that today you will speak to us and challenge us by your word. Lord, you'll call us to be captivated. You'll call us away to be captivated by your love, Lord, in a deep, deep measure. Holy Spirit, open our eyes that we could see you, Lord Jesus, in a new facet and in a new way with all of your glory. Holy Spirit, open up our ears so that we could hear what the Spirit is saying to us individually and us corporately, God, and us as the church. Lord, open up our hearts to receive fresh revelation, God. We must have your revelation, Lord. Lord, we don't want just knowledge. Lord, we don't want just good themes and good topics and good times on a Sunday morning. Lord, we have to have you. Holy Spirit, we are nothing without you. We're not enough without you, God. So Holy Spirit, have your way. Take over my words today. And let not one leave this place the same. If you're in agreement with that, in Jesus' name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've been on a journey this year. Do you believe that? God's been taking us through some very amazing times, and we've spent some time in prayer and fasting, abiding with the Lord, and just as I mentioned last week, you know, we don't graduate from abiding in the Lord, you know, just because we're not necessarily preaching on abiding. That theme remains in us as believers because we must abide in the Lord. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We must remain in him. Remain with the active awareness of his presence. Remain with the active awareness of what he's speaking to us and to fellowship with him on the regular. And we've had some powerful times just talking about different works of the Holy Spirit. And you guys remember a couple weeks ago where Dr. Peters shared on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism really with fire. And I believe that many of us were challenged to be able to go deeper into that. And many of you have been given the gift of tongues and you've received the prayer language. And I encourage you to spend more time with the Lord. Because there's so much fruit that comes from being able to spend time in his presence and spend time allowing your spirit to connect with his spirit. Amen? Last week was kind of a continuation of what I started a few weeks ago. I think it was Who Is Like Him was the first one. Last week was There Is None Like You. And today is There Is None Like You Part 2. Because without knowing who he is, without fixing our hearts upon Jesus, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, everything that we do in life will be out of focus. Everything we do and operate in, our perspective will be amiss if we don't first come into the reality that, Lord, there's none like you. We're just having a fresh revelation every morning that, God, there's no one like you. There's no one like you. And last week, I started with a song, and I was going back and forth with the Lord this morning. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do that again, but I feel like we need to. So for lack of having, you know, opera training, with a collective voice of fire this morning, can we sing that old song back from 1991, the chorus, There Is None Like You? It's real simple. If you don't know it, you'll catch on. I'll start you out, and you guys can continue. Let's just welcome him. And as we sing this, don't just sing the words. So many times we sing words and we don't even think about what we're saying. But allow your heart to open up. Even if you're not sure. Even if you feel like there's others that captivated your attention this morning, your gaze, let this be truth that, Lord, there's none like you. And I want to know all of you. All right. Thank you, Lord. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Do it again. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. One last time. Jesus, there's none like you. There's none like you, Lord, and there will never be any like you. My prayer is that today is another moment of remembrance, a moment when we're singing, Lord, there's no one else that can touch my heart like you do. The Lord has touched so many of our hearts in this place. I don't know about you, but when I sing that, yeah, I get brought back sometimes to certain places where I encountered the Lord. But even beyond that, I recognize that there's a love of God that is so rich and so powerful and so true that there's nothing else that this world could offer that I would ever want to take its place. There's no person or individual, as much as I love my wife, as much as I receive from her, as much as we've had amazing times together over these almost two decades, there's nothing like the Lord touching my heart. And there's nothing like the Lord touching your heart. As we were praying on Friday night in corporate prayer, the Lord gave me a vision, and Brother Daryl, you don't even recognize why you're here. Daryl and April, they traveled 2.5 hours to be here this morning out of the obedience of the Lord. And we were praying, and the theme of love was just coming up in our prayer time. And as we were praying, the Lord gave me an open vision. You guys remember what I shared? What I saw right here about this place in the sanctuary was a man that, now that I recognize it was you, was kneeling right here in the sanctuary. And it was as if your heart was on the outside and it took up your entire chest. It was like you wore the breastplate of love. And your heart was on fire. It was on fire. And all of a sudden, as we were crying out to the Lord, and it was rainy that night, all of a sudden the rain kicked up and you could hear it penetrating on the roof. And instead of seeing water come down, what I saw, it was like a fountain of liquid gold that was coming down and pouring directly into your heart. And as it was happening, there was these orange circular like waves that were going out and they were reverberating. And I knew that the Lord was speaking to us as individuals. He was speaking to us as a church. But brother, I'm telling you that God has such a plan and a purpose for your life. The Lord wants to meet you, and even now, the Lord is reviving things that have been dormant in your life. The Lord is reviving that hunger and that thirst for revival, the touch that the Lord has given you. You've sang this song, "There is none like you" before. You've sang this song, and the Lord is saying, "I have seen you, I have watched you, and I have known you. And I'm giving you a fresh blessing that will shake the nation. It will shake the nation. The swirl that will go around you, it will cause a magnetism for people to want to desire the Lord. Where people have been desiring other things, they will see you and encounter the Spirit of God in you. And what they will know is that your love is so rich and so pure. It's unjaded. It's not tainted. It's not touched by any other thing. And when you speak, they're going to receive the love of God because you truly have His love and His heart beating through you. It's only going to increase from here. It's only going to increase from here. I believe that's for all of us as well this morning, that the Lord wants to increase our capacity for love. To increase our capacity to burn hot for Him. Thank you, Lord. I mentioned to you last week, we read out of Corinthians, which was echoing the Old Testament, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard all the things that God is going to show you, He's going to do for you, He's going to reveal to you. We know that there was so much that was being spoken of regarding salvation, the salvation experience, but it's so much more. It wasn't about eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and so we have something in the sweet by and by waiting for heaven. But no, yes, there is that. But there's also all the richness of what the Lord wants to reveal to us now. How many of you remember Scott Folk? It's been a while since he's been here, but many of you guys still connect with him, leader of Together for Israel. He had an encounter with the Lord in Pensacola. And his testimony was he was going through a very hard time before he came to Pensacola. His father was a pastor. He was the youth pastor. And at that time, there was some deep rumblings that were going on within the church. And basically, they were getting ousted from the place that they were at. And he recounts telling the story of how bitterness was rising up, unforgiveness was rising up. And he really didn't want anything to do with ministry. And Dr. Brown gave him a call and invited him to come out. And all of a sudden, Scott goes into the sanctuary, and before the service even starts, he finds himself near to the altar, but just sitting in the pew, and he places his hands in his face, just crying out to the Lord. And this is what the Lord said to him: "I can't fill you with what you need unless you empty yourself of what you have." I'm going to say that again. "I can't fill you with what you need unless you empty yourself of what you have." This morning, if we want to receive the fresh love of God, the fresh power of God, the fullness of His presence, the fullness of His fire, we have to empty ourselves again. Samuel Chadwick spoke about the fire of God this way. And I'm talking about God this way because we know that Hebrews talks about the Lord being a consuming fire. A consuming fire. What does that mean? That means, yeah, anything that is not of Him, it's going to burn up. Anything that is not like Him, it burns. But that which is His, it gets purified and refined when His fire comes. And so Samuel Chadwick, I often quote him on different things regarding prayer. It says, "Spirit-filled souls are ablaze for God. They love with a love that glows. They serve with a faith that kindles. They serve with a devotion that consumes. They hate sin with a fierceness that burns. They rejoice with a joy that radiates. Love is perfected in the fire of God." Love is perfected in the fire of God. Many years ago, Lindell Cooley put to the song, different kind of a musical, what do you call it? Just a accompaniment, arrangement for Send the Fire, William Booth's hymn from 1894, I believe it was. I'm going to just read these lyrics to you one more time and pray that this would become our heart. Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Thy blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost. Send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. God of Elijah, hear our cry. Send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. To make us fit to live or die. Send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. To burn up every trace of sin, to bring the light and glory in. The revolution now begin. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. 'Tis fire we want, for fire we plead. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. The fire will meet our every need. Send the fire, send the fire. For strength to ever do the right, for grace to conquer in the fight. For power to walk the world in white. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. To make our weak hearts strong and brave. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. To live a dying world to save. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Oh, see us on thy altar lay. Our lives are all this very day. To crown the offering, now we pray. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Lord, send your fire. Lord, send your fire. Can I tell you, that's a dangerous prayer, but it's a powerful prayer. Because as I mentioned, when you ask for the fire, it will consume. It will consume. But there's something so associated with fire that is related to love that we cannot separate the two. And this is what I want to get at this morning. Even if we go back to Moses, you guys remember Moses having the encounter with the burning bush where the tree itself wasn't consumed, but there was the Lord was represented in the fire, and he spoke out of that burning bush. Up until that moment, Moses was completely afraid of God. He was afraid of God. He endeavored to follow his law. He made plenty of mistakes. And all of a sudden, after being humbled on the backside of the desert, he comes into this place of encounter where he turns and looks and sees this bush. And all of a sudden, it ignites something inside of Moses. He starts out on this life of obedience to what the Lord shares with him. And even beyond that, after delivering all of God's people out of Egypt and going up to Mount Sinai to receive the law of God, every other encounter you see in the Old Testament, when people encounter the Lord, when they encounter the angels, what do? They fall like dead men. The angels or the Lord say? Do not be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because it's a powerful thing that's taken place. The holiness is there. There's something supernatural that is there, of course. But can I tell you, more often than not, it's because we haven't been overcome by love. When Moses was able to receive the love of God, everything changed and he was no longer fearful. You want to know how I know? He asked the glory of the Lord to pass before him. You remember, right? And the Lord said, yeah, I can't show you my face right now. I can't show you my face, but I'll show you the backside. I'll show you my glory. I'll show you the trail of my goodness. And I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock so that you can see it. And I believe that in that moment, When Moses was able to see the pure glory, the pure goodness, as we sang about this morning, you are good. You are good, Lord. You are good. When he saw the goodness of the Lord, he knew that his God was a loving God. He knew that he no longer had to be fearful in the presence of God. I'm not talking about not being reverent. All of God caused his heart to be in awe and in wonder. All of God, his holiness, caused Moses to always walk in a place of reverence, but he was no longer afraid. We know that the New Testament, Paul tells us that perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. And we know that God himself is love. There's a power in this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. We ended here last week. Hallelujah. How many of you want me to stop talking? You've got enough of the love of God. Can you ever get enough? Thank you, Jesus. We went through, and let me just reiterate a couple of things here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, verse 1, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. It thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now we know that these are qualities of God's love. We know that these are qualities that we aspire to. But last week I mentioned these are aspects of love that we need to approach God with as well. That we suffer long with the Lord. We're patient with the Lord. We don't get upset at God when things don't go our way. Are we children? He calls us children, doesn't he? Aren't children good at whining when they don't get their way? You ever seen a child act rudely? Never, right? But how about this? The faith of a child that is easy to give themselves to belief. To believe all things. To hope all things. Endure all things. But whether there are prophecies, it continues, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Who's perfect? Jesus. He's the only one. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Turn quickly over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. going to read this out of the Amplified. Start this in verse 14. I want you to see this theme and grant that the Lord would grant us this understanding. For this reason, grasping the greatness of this plan by which Jews and Gentiles are joined together in Christ, I bow my knee in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. God, the first and ultimate Father. Verse 16, may he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up through your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Hallelujah. Now to him who is able. I'm going to repeat that phrase. To him who is able. Can I say it this way? To him who alone is able. There's none like him. He's the only one able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we ask, dare ask, or think. Infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, and dreams, according to his power, our power? No, his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great encouragement to the church of Ephesus. What a great encouragement to that church that they would receive the richness that Paul had encountered, the richness of the love of God. Paul, who had a similar experience trying to serve God with his very best initiatives, he loved the Word of God, but he saw it as the law alone. He didn't see God as love. And so he persecuted those that God loved. Until God encountered him. Jesus encountered him. And all of a sudden you see Saul saying, Lord. All of a sudden you see him encountering Jesus in his fullness and recognizing that this is a man of love. This is a God of love. Can I tell you, I'm not wanting you to fly out of this place and be all lovey-dovey. That's not the love that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the agape kind of love, not the phileo kind of love, not the kind of love that even Jesus was trying to get out of Peter. He's like, do you love me? Do you love me with the God kind of love, or do you love me with the phileo, the friendship kind of love? Because you need to receive my love so that you can feed my sheep. Unless you have my love, you're only going to lead them so far. There'll be a point where your love runs out and you get frustrated with the sheep. Because sheep are frustrating. Hey, I'm a sheep too. I'm a sheep too. You understand. But you need the love of God to penetrate through. What silences anger? Love. I'm not talking about love is love this morning. Because all things are not love. All things are not love. Either love has a definition or it bears nothing. It bears no significance. There is something as accurate as absolute truth. And if you want to know love, you have to encounter God. If you want to know love, the greatest kind of love, you have to continually go after him because you can't get it in one sitting. You can't get it in one passing. You can't get it in one reading. You can't get it in one encounter. For all eternity, we will be encountering the God of love. So Paul encounters this God of love, and he's undone by him to the point where he says, my life for the gospel. And I will give my very life to this so that you will know this God of love. I wish I could be in his presence, but there's so much that you need that I have to give myself for you. And I wish that you will know the width, the length, the height, the depth, the fullness of his love, because I've encountered it, and it's allowed me to go through persecution. It's allowed me to go through perils. It's allowed me to go through rejection. It's allowed me to go through hell on earth, because the love of God coming into me gives me joy. The love of God coming inside of me allows me to fear no man. The love of God coming into me allows me to only glorify him. I desire so much to know this love that I see that Jesus represented. There's no greater love that you can have than to lay down your life for your friends. Paul said, I desire to know Christ. I desire to know his death, to be conformed to his death, and to know the power of his resurrection. Why? Because he wanted to know love. He wanted to know love. There's many people that die for a cause. That doesn't mean they have love. There's entire religions right now that oppose us. There's entire forces within the United States of America that oppose the gospel simply because love is a consuming fire. And they know if they don't resist it, they're going to be consumed. But that resistance, it's futile. You can't resist God. How do you take somebody who's everywhere and try to remove him? You can't. So Paul talks to this church lovingly. He establishes this church in Ephesus. And you know this passage. You probably even know where I'm going. Turn to Revelation right now. Turn to Revelation. Paul loves this church. He devotes himself to this church. And even gives them multiple blessings, because that was chapter 3. He goes on for several more chapters addressing the church at Ephesus. Maybe it was a couple letters put together. You can talk about those things later. But one of the most powerful things that he was telling them, you need the anointing. You need to prophesy. You need to be given to the word. You need to be mature Christians. You don't need to be those that walk around to and fro just confused. No, you should be strong. You should be powerful. You are the church of Ephesus. You are seated in heavenly places because of the love of God. He gives them the gospel in a powerful way. And he tells them that they need to have this love. I believe they received it, but then nonetheless, just like most generations, we find ourselves getting off the mark. In chapter 2 of Revelation, to the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Let me just pause there for a second. That's actually some pretty awesome, accolades right there. That's good affirmation for this church. You've held to the word of God. You've actually exemplified some of those 1 Corinthian love attributes. You've been patient. You've been persevering, enduring. But how many of you know, if you just describe to what love looks like without having love, it isn't love. You can operate in what you think is love, And there's many of us that do this. We're full of activity. We're full of things that will allow others to look at us and say, wow, you're so spiritual. Wow, you're such a good Christian. Wow, you've got that Bible on your coffee table and it doesn't even have dust. Oh my goodness, you are amazing. You always got that radio station on in the car or the Spotify playlist with the latest, greatest Christian worship, and you're always praying. You got the Christian t-shirts. Listen, I'm not knocking all of these things in sense of don't do those things. I'm saying without love, it's all garbage. It's all garbage. And none of us want inauthenticity. None of us want to be fake if we're really honest with ourselves. We want the authentic. We want the real God. We want the real Jesus, and the world is desperate for the real Jesus. And he's a God of love, but a God of love also is a God of truth, right? So this Jesus says, I affirm you in all of these things. Nevertheless, verse 4, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You started being empowered. You started being mentored by this man that knew my love. And you received it. You caught it. You walked in it. You had a love ignition inside of your heart. Something captivated you. How many of you had a salvation experience where you never experienced a love like that before? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Something when your heart gets arrested and apprehended by the divine God, the God of all eternity, grabs a hold of you and you recognize that you're nothing, but for some reason he wants you. You're filthy. Your sin becomes glaring before you. You recognize, man, I made mistake after mistake after mistake. You probably could have even said, I do nothing right. I've chased after so many pleasures. I've chased after so many temporal things and found myself empty. But then all of a sudden you encountered the love of God and he apprehended you. And all of a sudden, what happens? Your heart can't help but respond. We were created for this. We were created for love. We were created to house the presence of Almighty God, his Holy Spirit. Jesus loved us so much that he said he had to go away so that we could be fully infused with his presence, his glory, his love, the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us, that we could house love. But he said, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To he who has an ear, let him hear. Can I tell you, my spirit is just alive during this season, and I constantly hear the Spirit of God crying out for the church to hear, for the church to hear, to be able to hear, to be able to see, to be able to know with understanding. Not even with a glass dimly. I believe the Lord's wanting to give us fresh revelation that is crystal clear. I know that in eternity, you know, when all things come into play, we will see God and Jesus in his full glory. But can I tell you, there's so much more. I started out saying, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Those things which God desires to reveal to us. Jesus. When you get apprehended by the love of God, everything begins to change in your life. All of a sudden, the TV show that you're watching doesn't become as entertaining as it once was. All of a sudden, the sins you used to do in secret get overtaken by you going into the secret place. All of a sudden, our tongues begin to be silent a lot more because we recognize that the words that come out of our mouth have authority and have power. They have blessing and they have cursing. And all of a sudden, instead of us opening our mouths every 5 seconds, all of a sudden we only open our mouths when love is ready to come through, when there's hope. Does it mean that you can't ever pray to God and have a lamentation? You can't ever be honest with God? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When love invades our heart, all of a sudden we see each other a little bit differently. All of a sudden, the love that's there is coupled with grace. Our words are saturated with grace, an empowering life force. Grace empowers, right? Grace gives us the ability for even ourselves to overcome sin. And when we speak in love, it empowers others to overcome sin. It's beautiful. All of a sudden, when we continue with this love, everything begins to take different shape and different priority. We recognize how much time we're spending doing certain tasks and certain things. We recognize where we're spending our money. We understand who we're fellowshipping with. We understand that all of a sudden, the things that will burn up no longer have a tingle of an enticement for us. Only that which will last in eternity. That's the stuff that gets our heart beating. That's the start that gets us going. That when we come here on a Sunday morning, I love it that we have a format in a sense. You know, like you guys know, we're a church that loves the flow of the Holy Spirit. We love for God to come in and mess up our agendas. But even in the midst of that, we still have a sense of structure, right? We still have songs that we like to sing as we come together and glorify the Lord. But can I tell you, I don't want to just sing songs. I don't want to just have a time where we do this if it's only lip service. If we don't get into the presence of God and encounter Him. I don't want that. I don't think you want that. I don't want to come to a house that's supposed to be called a house of God, a hospital, and not see people getting healed. I don't want to come together and see people still have an awe in their heart towards each other, having envies and jealousies and unforgiveness and bitterness and all the foolishness that comes from the voice of the evil one. Because that's where it comes from. It's all lies, and it comes straight from the father of lies, straight from the pit of hell. Love cancels those things out. It exposes them for what they are. When love comes in, you recognize, man, it's hard. I don't know if I can forgive this person, but my goodness, I'm going to try. It starts there. I'm going to try. Don't leave it there, because your trying won't get you very far. You're going to stumble and fall rather fast. But if you say, Lord, this is your child. This is your brother. This is your sister. This is your son. This is your daughter. Help me see them the way that you see them. All of a sudden, the love and the mercy of God that we long for, all of us long for, it's easy to long for it for ourselves. It's not always easy to long for it for somebody else until we're overflowing with the love of God. When we're overflowing, that means there's nothing left in us that needs to be touched by that love. It can now spill out onto somebody else. So yeah, you get that love of God, and all of a sudden, the things that are impossible, God makes possible. The way that Jesus can bless his accusers. Jesus can bless those that are going to put the stripes upon his back. Jesus can forgive those that are mocking him at the very point of his death at the foot of the cross. The way that Jesus can look at us, the thousand times we fail and still look at us with love and forgive us time and time again. This love, it doesn't make sense. Isn't it a quandary? Isn't it an enigma to know this love and to be apprehended by it? Causes us to do the things that make the world question. And if Jesus said, "You will be known by my love," it seems pretty pertinent that we have to pay close attention to this. I'm just taking a moment here because I could go all day talking about how the love of God has affected me. I could go all day going through scripture after scripture that talks about and reveals the love of God and the mercy of God. The mercies that we know are new every morning. Oftentimes throughout scripture, those words mercy and love are sometimes interchangeable. It's the mercy of God. The mercy of God that draws us into conviction. The mercy of God that draws us to repentance. The mercy of God that loves a world that doesn't deserve saving. I want to just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Jesus. Dom, do you know the song Holy Love? Many waters cannot quench your love. Rivers cannot overwhelm it. Does anybody know that song? I'm stepping out here. Pete, where are you at? Do you know that song? Are you able to play it? Or sing it. I'm going to ask him to do that. As he's preparing to do this, I'm going to just read the lyrics to you so that you can prepare your hearts just to respond to the Lord. And I believe there's going to be a special opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come and encounter us. It says, many waters cannot quench your love. Rivers cannot overwhelm it. Oceans of fear cannot conceal your love for me. It repeats that again, your love for me. Holy love, flow in me. Fill me up like the deepest sea, like a crashing wave pouring over me. Holy love, flow in me. Many sorrows cannot quench your love. Darkness cannot overwhelm it. I will not fear. Your love is here to comfort me. Many sorrows cannot quench your love. Again, darkness cannot overwhelm it. I will not fear. Your love is here to comfort me. You comfort me. When I find you, I find healing. When I find you, I find peace. And I know that there's no river so wide, no mountain so high, no ocean so deep that you can't part the sea. Holy love, flow in me. Holy love, holy love, holy love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes right now, all across the sanctuary. Some of you have heard the words of this message, and there's still parts of you that you need consumed, literally consumed by the love of God. There's healing that needs to take place in your heart. There's places in your heart that there are wounds of close friends, there are wounds of loved ones. And this morning, the Lord's wanting to deal with those very things, because he can't fill you up until he touches those things. If there's confusion in your heart this morning, if there's questions that have gone unanswered, you don't understand why God hasn't operated in this way, you don't understand why this prayer seemingly hasn't been answered, the Lord's wanting to touch those places right now. There's fears that you have because of what you've experienced in your own life, and also the experience for somebody right now. This is of your parents. Your parents, you saw your parents fail. You saw your parents go through hell. You saw them curse God, and that's affected you all of your life. The Lord's wanting to heal you right now, to let you know that he never left them. He never forsook them, and he's never forsaken you. I'm talking about the power of the love of Almighty God this morning. He wants to rid us of sin, yes. He wants to cleanse us of all the things that keep us from close fellowship with him. He wants to rid us of all these things and purify us. But this morning, the overemphasizing heart of God is beating for us in this place. And he's saying, receive of my love. Receive of my love, so that you can in turn be an ambassador of my love. Do you want it? Do you want him? Do you need him? Open yourselves up right now.